Here's Skip Heitzig to share a few facts about our current body and how it will differ from our resurrected body.
The body that you and I have now is made for this environment, and this environment only. We can handle 14 pounds of pressure per square inch. That's it. You can't go under the sea. You can't go up into the heavens unless you're in a pressurized cabin or suit. You're earthbound. You live in an environment of 79 to 20 oxygen to nitrogen with 1% of variant gases. That's what you can handle. But imagine in glory. You don't need a suit. You don't need an oxygen tank. You don't need a pressurized cabin. I believe you'll be able to move, transport very quickly, horizontally as well as vertically, as we will see in the New Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 20 and 21. You'll be able to explore and soar, and so sown in dishonor, raised in glory.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
If you stop and think about it, our lives depend on a very tenuous and often fragile framework known as our body. A slight change in conditions and our body shut down. A small invasion of a virus and our body doesn't work properly. Introduce any sort of trauma or wound and our body may cease to function. We are actually quite fragile in these current bodies, but it won't always be that way. And we'll hear more from Skip Heitzig about what our resurrected bodies will be like today here on The Connection. But first, if you've never taken time to contact us, we'd like to invite you to do that now. In fact, if you call or write us for the first time today, we'll send you a free booklet from Skip called Thoughts on Thanksgiving. It's yours free just for a phone call at 1-800-922-1888. Or you can write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. So what would life be like if we were to inhabit a more robust and less fragile body? Someday we'll experience that. And today we'll speculate a little bit about what that will actually be like.
And make the connection.
We'll continue today in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, so if you find that place in your Bibles, we'll catch up with Skip Heitzig as he begins today's study.
Now let's move on to the last section of this, and that is the declarations that he makes. Two questions, three illustrations, four declarations as he contrasts this body with the resurrected body. Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Here's the first declaration. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now, we figured that out by now. We deteriorate. Have you noticed that? Over time, we deteriorate. Even the healthiest people weaken over time. I was looking at a picture of Jack LaLanne the other day. Do you know that he is almost 94 years old? And you know what? He looks really good. But Jack LaLanne, the godfather of fitness, almost 94, he looks good. But he doesn't look as good as Jack LaLanne used to look. So I've heard people, as they look at his picture, boy, this is what they say, he looks good for 94. Now, if he looked like he does today at 34... people wouldn't say he looks all that good. Here's the point. Even the healthiest people weaken over time. And that deterioration, that corruption, we go, I see it. I remember graphically what it was like when I would visit my parents and then the visits would lengthen in time. I wouldn't see them for a long time. And I remember visiting them after a long time away. And my brother was there. He turned to me and goes, have you noticed how old mom and dad are starting to look? See, now our kids are saying that about us. You don't know it, but they're doing that. Or you look at an old picture of yourself, right? And you notice the difference. And once you get over that, I can't believe I had that hairdo back then in the 80s or that shirt. You know, when you get past that, you just look at the difference of how you look physically. It's quite a difference. I was speaking to a buddy last week. He goes to this fellowship. And Al was telling me that he was dropping his kids off for a sporting event. And he was picking them up later on. And as he went in to pick up his girls, he walked into the room where all the kids were, up against one side of the wall, and he looked at the group, and he noticed an older, rounder man. And he thought, that looks weird, looks out of place. He thought in his mind, who's the old fat guy? And he said, as I looked across the room, I noticed that the kids were up against a mirror. It was me. I was looking across the room, and I saw the kids, and in their midst, my reflection. The old fat guy was me, he said. He said, what a wake-up call that was. Sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. You know that in glory, no one will ever comment on your age. You know, you start getting comments by people after a certain year. Boy, you're looking really good. Now, they never said that when you were 20. You're looking really good. It's like, yeah, for your age, nobody will ever comment on, boy, the years are taking their toll on you. In fact, get this. You ready? In 20 million years, you'll look better then than you do right now. Hallelujah for that. Look down at verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, that's your physical resurrection, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Now look at the second declaration made by Paul in our verses. It is sown in dishonor, that is shame. It is raised in glory, verse 43. There is nothing majestic about a dead body. In fact, just the opposite. When a person dies, they quickly put a sheet over the body to hide the gaping, gazing, staring eyes, to look at the shame. When a person expires, when a person dies, they lose all muscle function. I mean all muscle function. It would be like the most embarrassing moment of your life if you were alive. It's shameful. There's a disgrace. And so the body is covered up immediately. It's not a flattering event. I mean, we get embarrassed now when people see us without makeup or, you know, I don't have the right tan. I don't want to wear shorts. I'll wait. You know, all of that stuff. When you die, they see it all. And so we are sown in shame, dishonor, but we're raised in glory. The body that you and I have now is made for this environment, and this environment only. We can handle 14 pounds of pressure per square inch. That's it. You can't go under the sea. You can't go up into the heavens unless you're in a pressurized cabin or suit. You're earthbound. You live in an environment of 79 to 20 oxygen to nitrogen with 1% of variant gases. That's what you can handle. But imagine in glory, you don't need a suit, you don't need an oxygen tank, you don't need a pressurized cabin. I believe you'll be able to move, transport very quickly, horizontally as well as vertically, as we will see in the New Jerusalem in Revelation chapter 20 and 21. You'll be able to explore and soar, and so sown in dishonor, raised in glory. That's the second declaration. Here's the third. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. That's the third contrast. I get more impressed with how susceptible we are, how vulnerable we are. You know, on one hand, we can get pretty strong and we can withstand an auto accident, we can lift weights and live through a lot, and yet one single germ, we're flat on our backs. One little microbe, we're wiped out. I read an article just the other day about allergies in the United States of America. And they say that we are actually weakening our children's immune systems year by year by keeping them away from germs that you and I were exposed to when we were kids. And what they said is, if you want to stop allergies, then start exposing your kids to pets and dirt early. Because the scientists are telling us that you program a child's immune system early on. That's when you program it. And if you don't program it right, they'll develop allergies later on. It's amazing how weak and susceptible and vulnerable we can become. If you've never read the book by Johnny Erickson Tada called Heaven, I recommend it to you. Now, here's a lady who was paralyzed at a young age, early adult life or teenage life, from a diving accident. She's paralyzed from the neck down. She's a strong believer, wonderful woman. She's had a long time to think about her glorified, resurrected body. In one of her classic moments in the book, she writes this: "One day, no more bulging middles or balding tops. No varicose veins, no crow's feet, no more cellulite or support hose. Forget thunder thighs and highway hips." Now, I would never say that. Only a woman could write those words. And she continues, "Just a quick leapfrog over the tombstone, and it's the body you've always dreamed of. Fit, trim, smooth, and sleek." Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That's an extreme makeover, the resurrection. Look at the last contrast, the last declaration, verse 44. "It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now, please don't misunderstand it. Because some people will read that verse and misread it and go, "Aha, I knew it. See, we do continue only as a spirit after death. Here we have a physical body, then it will be spiritual." Please finish reading that little phrase. Why do you emphasize the adjective and not the noun? The adjective is spiritual. The noun is what? Body. It's a body. Yeah, but it's spiritual. But it's a body. It denotes form, function, physicality. You see, your resurrected body will be spiritual, just like we refer to this book as a spiritual book. Doesn't mean it's not real. It's non-corporeal, it's immaterial, it's a real physical book, but it's spiritually oriented, it's spiritual in nature, it's dominated by the things of the Spirit. We talk about a person being a spiritual person. Doesn't mean that they lack physicality, it just means that they're spiritually dominated. So you have a natural body dominated by the flesh in this life, you'll have a supernatural, that's a better translation, body in the resurrection. Dominated by the things of the Spirit, not susceptible to temptation, not susceptible to sin, spiritual body. Well, this then is the body you've always dreamed of. This is eternal. This is the extreme makeover. This is heavenly Botox. This is eternal liposuction. This is a forever physique. That's the resurrected body. A couple quick questions to tag at the end of this. What about an infant or an elderly person? If a guy dies at 108, will he look 108 forever? Would that not be like the ultimate bummer? Or an infant to always stay an infant? Or somebody who loses a limb to be that way in the resurrection? I don't believe so. Now, let me take you back. When God first created Adam, and so here you have, placed in the garden, a fully grown, prime age adult. The next day, how old was Adam? One day old, right? Did he look one day old? Did he look like a baby? Did he look like an infant? No, he looked like a full grown adult in the prime of his life. He had apparent age, right? Okay, now go to our bodies now. Now, our DNA in our cells work such that you reach a certain developmental peak and then it's all downhill after that. There's anabolic growth. When anabolic growth is exceeded by catabolic growth, breakdown, right before that peak, that's your prime. We don't know exactly when that is. It's somewhere between your 20s and your 30s. There's debate on that. I remember when I was in college and medical training, and I was 19 going on 20, and one doctor said, you are right now at your peak development. It's all downhill after this. I thought, get him away from me. But it is true. There's a peak. And I believe that in the resurrection, that each person will be at their peak genetic development as the genetic code in you, your peak in life. So I don't think you'll forever be an infant or a preemie or an old person. As it says in Revelation 21, the old order of things has passed away. Everything's new. A second question that comes up is cremation. And I get this question asked me a lot, and more, because now 30% of Americans cremate their loved ones after death for environmental reasons or for personal emotional reasons or for economic reasons, and creeps other people out. I remember doing a funeral. Well, as we were putting one corpse in the ground, 20 feet away, there was a crematorium roaring with its fires, burning up. It was a really, really kind of a weird experience. So what about it? What about cremating and the resurrection? Well, if you look in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Bible seems to favor burial. It always does. It talks about burying people. And that's because that was their statement of faith of, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Just as I am planting this person in the ground, I believe that person will be raised. You see, it was the pantheistic and the pagan cultures that burned the dead. And that's the illustration here. A seed goes into the ground. Now, having said that, okay, let's push that aside from having said that. Don't for a minute think that it's like too hard for God to resurrect a cremated person or that you get demerits if you're cremated. You know what happens when a person dies? All of them decay. You dig up a corpse in 100 years, it doesn't look any different than somebody who's been cremated. Cremation will do in 3 hours what it takes nature 30 years to do. It just speeds up the process. But none of this nonsense like, but then what about the resurrection? How is God and the guys are like overall the whole state? And do you see how silly that is? Isn't your God the creator? Okay, can't the creator be the resurrector? You think it's any harder for God to resurrect molecules than to make people in the first place? Right? If you can believe the first verse of the Bible, the rest is pretty easy. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If he can do that, I think he can pull off resurrection, don't you? So, what a ride we're on in for. What a future. A year ago, just a little over a year ago, I sat at my mother's bedside as she was in a very debilitated, deteriorating condition physically just before she died. She was always on her feet, always vibrant, always cooking breakfast, always happy, always laughing. But not this time. This time she was dying. And I sat at her bedside and all of the boys were there. She reached such a debilitated state physically that she could not even respond at all. And her breathing was labored, and you could hear the choking going on and the lungs filling with fluid, and I'm watching and hearing and monitoring. I got to read scripture to her in those final hours. And I remember I said to her, Mom, you know, we're all here and we all love you. She couldn't respond. But what was amazing to me is she responded to the next statement I made. It's like she mustered up all of the strength to respond to this statement. After I said, you know, we love you. No response. I said, Mom, you know, Jesus loves you. With all of the strength, she gave that final approval. She went nodding her head up and down. I know that. And I thought of the resurrection. I thought, this is the last time I'll ever see Mom in that condition. Next time I see her, it won't be in dishonor. It'll be in honor. It won't be in corruption. It'll be in incorruption and glory. And what a body she will have, and you will have. And no wonder, Paul says, we don't sorrow like people who have no hope. And our hope isn't to be disembodied spirits. Our hope is to be resurrected beings, body joined with soul. The same body, but very different as a seed and a flower are different. So if I were to go back to the poll, that was asked. What is the one thing in your life you want to change? I hope the answer would be something like, I want to invest in something that will outlast me. I want to invest in something that will outlast me. Everybody dies. Everybody. So far, isn't that the truth? There's just only been a couple of exceptions in the Bible that we read about. Everybody dies. Everybody will be resurrected. Now, the flip side of all that we've talked about this week and the last few weeks is that unbelievers will also be resurrected and given bodies that will be suitable to endure everlasting torment. Even as you will be given bodies to endure everlasting, not endure, enjoy everlasting life. So it means that right here in this interim time, we put all of our stack, all of our hopes and marbles in just this life. This is where we make choices that really matter forever. If you haven't made a choice to follow Jesus Christ, to have your sins forgiven, and to let Him give you the package deal, which is a lot more than just temporary peace and joy and purpose. The package deal is all that we've been talking about. It's only just begun.
Let me just echo Skip's exhortation for you to make that decision to follow Christ and to make it soon. Eternity doesn't wait for us to be ready. It could be brought upon us at any moment. We're all going to get a new body, but whether it's a new body designed for blessing or torment is entirely our choice. Well, that's going to wrap it up for today. But before we go, let's go in studio with Skip and Lenya Heitzig.
Okay, Lenya, I get to turn the tables on you and ask you a question for a change. A lot of times you'll ask me a question relating to the message, and we'll talk about it. But you've released a couple of women's Bible studies recently. One is called Live Reflectively, and the other is Live Abundantly. Now, first of all, you've done a lot of these books over the years, and they fall into the hands of women and women's ministries and churches around the world, because wherever I travel, one of the most frequent things I hear is, tell your wife thank you for those Bible studies. We go through it with our women's group or at our church. Well, these are a couple of new installments. First of all, what do these titles mean, Live Reflectively, Live Abundantly?
Live Reflectively is a overview of Moses' life. Live Reflectively, Moses means drawn from the water. And so I kind of bookended his life from being drawn from the Nile and then when he passed away, viewing the Jordan. And we took little snapshots of his life with the encounters that he had with water, the blood at the Nile or the parting of the Red Sea, meeting his wife at a Midian well. So we called it Live Reflectively. And it was watershed moments with Moses.
And the idea of living reflectively, like looking at a water and being able to see yourself. And so you're going through these passages of Scripture, these watershed moments, but you're using them to reflect, I take it, on a personal aspect of what Moses is doing in his life with a personal lesson for us.
Absolutely. I think he was a seeker of God. And so it's wonderful that he sought the Lord and he had these epiphanal moments on, you know, the Mount Sinai, and he got to talk to God face to face. And wow. So I think that we would love to have some of the experiences that Moses had, and if not, to be transformed as he was transformed.
And he was raised in Egypt. Do you think he walked like an Egyptian?
I think he talked like an Egyptian.
I think he did, because he really was.
He knew Egyptian.
That's right. Okay, so what about that other book? It's called Live Abundantly. What's all that
Live about? Abundantly is the epistle of the Ephesians. Paul wrote to the Ephesians. And so this one is really understanding the riches we have in Christ. So much of Ephesians talks about the spiritual blessings we have in heavenly places. And sometimes as Christians, we don't acquire or access or appreciate all that we have in Christ. Mm. And so I think the book of Ephesians is helping you to say, look what you have, this bank account, and why don't you use it as you're here on earth to forward your life.
What I really love is the way you train women. You teach them the Bible, you talk in an expository way through these passages of Scripture, and you also make them very applicable. And now they're in book form.
Yep, these are installments 7 and 8. 9 is on its way.
Beautiful.
Well, thanks, Skip and Lenya. And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching from Skip Heitzig, just give us a call at 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. Each copy on CD is available for just $6. Plus, when you contact us, don't forget that we're only able to bring you these daily teachings because of your generous support. So call today and help support the work of this ministry. Call 1-800-922-1888. 1888. Or you can also write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find a way into His love. Make the connection.
Next time on The Connection, Skip Heitzig tackles a very sensitive and emotional subject as he tries to answer the question of what happens when babies die. Join us, won't you, on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.